I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. We're going to be reading through the first 20 verses of this particular chapter. We're going to focus our hearts and minds on verses 18 through 20 today as we consider the subject, what Christ's resurrection proves. What Christ's resurrection proves. I'm beginning to read in verse 1 of John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he hath seen me, hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Very important phrase in this, I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, for he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Very, very important phrase. Because I live. Oh, let that sink into your heart's mind. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that your Son, Jesus Christ, lives. That he is not dead, but that he is alive. He has a human body like ours, but it's a human body without sin. It's a human body that is glorified. And Jesus Christ, our deliverer, is at the right hand, your right hand, making intercession for us right now, seeking one day to come and to take us to be with him. Lord, we look for that day, and there are words of comfort to our hearts. I pray, Lord, as we consider this passage of Scripture, that you would open our hearts to what the resurrection proves. And I pray that we might accept it, that we might know it, not just in the head, but know it in our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The word resurrection appears 41 times in the New Testament. 26 of those times directly refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So over half of the references in the New Testament to the resurrection refer to Jesus Christ and His resurrection. It makes it a central theme of the gospel. It makes it a central theme of apostolic preaching, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is spoken of often because it is a main theme of why we call the gospel good news. We've all received bad news. We've all had to deal with that. And we enjoy receiving good news. What makes the gospel good news to lost sinners? It's this fact that Jesus Christ not only died for your sin, but He rose again in victory over your sin. His resurrection proves something. And that proof is what allows me to be able to live life here upon this earth and look forward to the day when that trumpet sounds or takes us up off of this earth, or we die and go into the presence of Jesus Christ and await the rapture, the day that we receive our new bodies, and those bodies are going to be likened unto whose? His body. His body. His resurrected body. It means something. It proves something. And I hope today that from this passage of Scripture, we can bring to light some very precious promises related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's interesting in verses 18 through 20 here that we find twice our Lord saying, "I will," and then twice saying to believers, "Ye shall." Let's take just a moment to identify those. Look at verse 8. "I will not leave you," how? Comfortless. "I will not leave you. I will come to you." Now remember, please, that He said in verse 1 of chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." What is the most troubling thing that most people face in this world? Death. Death. There are people that fear death. They're afraid that they're going to die. Why? Why are they afraid they're going to die? Well, no one wants to cease living, but there's a theme in the Bible that says this: all are appointed to die. And after that, the judgment. We're all appointed to die. Now, if God in His mercy sends His Son and the rapture takes place, there will be Christians who are alive and will be caught up together to meet Him. But before that happens, we are going to die. And many people have fear in their hearts, are troubled about that. And so they live their lives on earth trying to get as much as they can. They want to get as much entertainment as they can. They want to get as much out of this world as they can. Why? Because we're going to die. And they don't want to look back over their life and say, "I didn't get to do this," or "I didn't get to do that." Because they totally misunderstand what life really is. Life is found only in Jesus Christ. If you live all your days on this earth without Jesus Christ, you have missed both in this world and in the next. Your memory in hell will not be of all the wonderful vacations you had. Your memory in hell will not include beautiful pictures of scenery, plane flights to exotic locations. The memory that you will have in hell will be of your rejection of Jesus Christ. That's all your memory will be absorbed with, is the torment of every opportunity that you had to be delivered from hell. You want to be afraid of something? You want to have your heart troubled about something? You need to have your heart troubled about that. But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God," what's the next part? "Believe also in me." Jesus Christ is telling us something. Your heart doesn't need to be troubled because in me you find deliverance from all your fear, from all your anxiety, from death. And so two "I wills" are included in verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come for you." I will come again. That is a beautiful foundation upon which to live life, don't you think? Because that foundation is found in a person, Jesus Christ. So two "I wills," and then He says here that there are two "ye shalls." Ye shall. Notice this, please. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also." Let's just stop and meditate on what that means. Ye shall live also. Because He lives in Christ Jesus, I will live. So in reality, you don't begin to really live in this world until you are in Jesus Christ. So the first ye shall is, ye shall live if you are in Jesus Christ. And then the second ye shall. Notice this, please. Verse 20, and that day ye shall know. In that day ye shall know. I want to share with you some thoughts here about what the resurrection proves. From these four thoughts that are given here, I want you to see some things that the Lord is communicating here to His disciples. What He wanted them to know, He didn't want them to be troubled. He wanted them to know that He was going to send His Comforter. The first thing, we learn from this passage that Christ's resurrection and His subsequent second coming proves to be a comfort to Christians. It's a comfort. You know, as a child, whenever I got hurt, I never ran to Dad. I've said this before. Dad didn't have a whole lot of sympathy. If you got hurt, it was get up, shake yourself, shake the dirt off, all right, get back at it. That's Dad's in a nutshell, all right? Now, maybe you're a little tenderer, I don't know. But that's mostly how dads are. Get up, get busy, out at the ball field. A kid gets hurt or whatever, you'll see a dad pick him back up, brush him off, all right, go back in the dugout, or get back on the base. They don't want their boy or their daughter or whatever to miss anything. So kids, when they get hurt, who do they go to? They go to Mom, because Mom has tender affection. Mom has Donald Duck Band-Aids. And Dad doesn't know what a Band-Aid is. But Mom has Donald Duck Band-Aids, and man, she can put it on in the most tenderest fashion, and the hurt goes away. I mean, that's what God gifted mamas with. The ability to come alongside of a child that gets hurt and help them to get back on their feet and fix their boo-boos, and then they're all right. All right? That's what mamas do. I want you to know that Jesus Christ does both. Isn't that amazing? He does both. He doesn't want us to sit around and cry and whine about our condition. The Bible says that He pours in oil and wine into our wounds. He comforts us. He has sent to us the person of the Holy Spirit to not only brush you off and say, get back at it, but also to pour in oil and wine and to heal. That's the symbol of the Holy Spirit. He heals. He fixes. He makes things right. And this is the beautiful picture that's given here. We learn from this passage of Scripture that Christ's resurrection proves to be a comfort to Christian. Jesus Christ's resurrection sent to us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives within us, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is our comforter. I'm not going to ask for a show of hand, but I wonder how many of us rejoice in the fact that we have the person of the Holy Spirit in our hearts today. And He's our comforter. No matter what we face, He's there to comfort. He's there to stabilize. That's what the word comfort means. The word comfort literally means to stabilize. When you go to a hospital in an emergency situation, and they take you in, maybe I was in an accident in 1983 where I had a van engine break loose from a chain and come down on top of me, landed on my leg, poked a big hole in it, and knocked me out cold. And when I came to, I was on a plywood board, and Mr. Hughes and my dad were shuttling me into the station wagon. All right? My dad is pretty tight. So instead of calling the ambulance, he came himself and we used the station wagon. And I woke up in there, and all I remember hearing was the sound of that LTD Ford with a 400 cubic inch engine going down the street. That thing was shifting. Right, my dad was taking me to the hospital. All right. When I got in there, I had blood all over me. I had busted my elbow up. My hand was all cut up because I had just a reaction to brace myself. I got in my hand and I had a big old hole in my leg. Now, when I went to the emergency room, I was stabilized. I can still see the emergency room doctor's face in my mind because my mind was just swirling at that point. I didn't know what was happening, what had happened to me. I knew I was covered in oil. I knew I was hurting all over the place. But there was that doctor, and he just talked very quietly to me. He said, Todd, you've got a head injury, and I'm going to talk quiet to you, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to sew you up. We're going to get you fixed up, and we're going to get you out of here. And he just talked quietly. I'm going to tell you something. It just settled things down. It wasn't until later that I experienced a lot of pain and hurt. It took several months to get over the infection that I got in my leg from that injury. And there was a lot of pain. But that doctor at that particular time came alongside, and he just brought comfort at that particular moment. And the person of the Holy Spirit is the one that brings comfort to the Christian. And that was guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said to them, I will not leave you comfortless. I like to emphasize the first part, I will not leave you. That's what brings the comfort, right? To know that He is there. You know, for a child has a bad dream, wakes up in the middle of the night, and you get up out of your bed. I remember as a kid, it seemed like I don't hardly have any dreams anymore, but as a kid, I must have got it all out of my system when I was younger. Boy, I'd have a bad dream, and I'd get up and I'd go to Mom and Dad's room. And Mom, who could hear a fly on the carpet on the opposite side of the house, she knew it was one of us, and she'd be up just like that. Hey, what's wrong? She'd kind of hug us and, did you have a bad dream? I had a bad dream. That's a horrible dream. Well, don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me about it. Let's pray. And we'd pray, and comfort would come. Said, let's go back to your bedroom. Go back in there, you know, where the big monster was before that woke you up. And then all of a sudden, everything was made right because Mom brought comfort. I want you to know that if you're going to go through this world, the only way you're going to have comfort in this world is to be in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, there is no other comforter. There'll be people that'll come around you and surround you in difficult times, but there are no comfort compared to the comfort that comes from Jesus Christ, because we are in Him. Bible makes that very clear. By the way, the word comfortless in the original language means orphan. I will not leave you as an orphan. An orphan is unstable. Get the word connection here. An orphan is unstable because an orphan is missing a mother and a father. They're unstable. They don't have a stable home. Charles Spurgeon opened a large orphanage in London, and because he was very concerned about the number of children that were on the streets of London that did not have a home. And he constantly referred to the plight of the orphans as unstable. Crime in London will be caused by these children when they grow up without God. He said, I don't want these children to grow up without God. I want them in a stable environment. And so he started orphanages in London and brought those kids in, and he hired people to come in and to work and to live with those children. And they were saturated with the Scriptures. Many people believe that London, the years that followed after Spurgeon's presence and the work that he did among orphans, allowed the city of London to have a respite from what other cities were having, because he was able to spare the city of all those children that would grow up and become miscreants and riddle the city with crime. But that wasn't the point of his work. The point of his work was to see them saved and secure in Jesus Christ. Stable in Christ. That's what it means to have comfort. He will not leave us as orphans. Orphanos in the Greek language means helpless, solitary, unstable, friendless. And by comparison, there were the disciples of Jesus Christ who had the presence of Jesus Christ with them all the time. He said, I will not leave you permanently. I will be coming back for you. What a beautiful picture. We are all like orphans and children in the minority until the coming of Christ. Our best things are yet to come. Faith has yet to be exchanged for sight and hope for certainty. Our peace and joy lie in the future, but we can enjoy a measure of it in the person of Jesus Christ in our hearts in this world. Life now is nothing like it will be when Christ returns. Let us look for and long for and pray for His appearance. His coming is something we should love and look for. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. Number two, we learn from this passage of Scripture that Christ's life proves that life of His believing people is forever secure. His resurrection proves that our future life is forever secure. No one, nobody, nothing will be able to separate you from Jesus Christ. Forever sheltered and protected. You know, things in this world don't offer a lot of security. On Friday evening, close to 6 o'clock, we saw black smoke rising up over the campus. I noticed it because I was facing toward my coaches, and I said, "Look over there, that looks like a house fire." Sure enough, a neighbor down the street from us was gone at the time, but their house was on fire. When they got back, the house, the garage area, the carport area was completely destroyed. The fire had expanded all the way up through the attic of the house. The house is badly damaged. They're not able to live there. Now, you think about the security that a house brings. When you go and you lock your doors at night, you have a feeling of security, do you not? And you think, you know, we'll be safe, we'll be fine. But when a house is destroyed by fire, you realize just how shallow that security really is. It doesn't take much to destroy things upon this earth. I was watching, they are developing a brand new plane in the military that's supposed to take the place of the A-10 Warthog, they call it, which is a slow-flying aircraft, but it's very deadly. And they were showing some of the capabilities that this new aircraft is going to have, and they were showing some test footage of a tank that was out there. And all of a sudden, you're just they pan in on the tank, and all of a sudden, you see this huge just cloud, boom. And whenever the smoke all clears away, all you see is a little bit of metal left there. It's blown to absolute bits. Now, is a tank pretty secure when you're inside of it? Feels secure. Weighs thousands of pounds. It's bulletproof. But this particular tank buster that they're using destroys it completely. No one survives. Completely dead, and the tank is obliterated. Hundreds, thousands of pounds of metal just destroyed and shredded within seconds. Not much security here on this earth, is there? But I want you to know that in Jesus Christ, you can be eternally secure. You'll never know any threat against it because of our Lord. That's what the resurrection proves. The man that is joined to Christ by faith is as closely united as a member of His body as will ever be. Oh yeah, we'll stand in His presence one day and see Him face to face. But in Christ Jesus, you are eternally secure. Romans chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him." So there is nothing that stands in the way. There is a sense of belonging that is unmatched in this world. There's an old story about two young boys that were standing on the corner of a street, and one of them was bragging about how many times they had moved as a family from state to state. The other little boy that was standing was trying to match him, and he said this, "My family has moved 3 times in the last 3 years, and I found them every time." Now, you got to think about that for just a moment. "My family moved 3 times, and I found them every time." Now, that wasn't the point of what the other boy was saying. He was bragging about how many times he had moved 5 times to all these different states. He was trying to show off all the places that he had been, and this other boy trying to match, just like kids, right? This other boy, my parents have moved 3 times, and I found them every time. Now, which one had the most security? Neither one of them. Neither one of them. And I think that's how people live sometimes here in this world. They think they have security. They think they have all they need to get through this world. But in reality, they are insecure. They are not under the blood of Jesus Christ in the sense that they have trusted in Him, and they are totally and completely out there. They're out there to be destroyed by Satan. Christ's life secures three things very quickly. It secures the continuation of our spiritual life. That's secured in Jesus Christ. Not only that, secondly, it secures the relevance of the resurrection life for His people. Is Jesus Christ's resurrection relevant to me today? Yes, it is. Will it be relevant to me tomorrow? Yes, it will be. And for every day and throughout all eternity, His resurrection, because it's the seal of heaven. It's secure. And then thirdly, the substance of eternal life for His people is forever secure. The substance. What all does eternal life mean? Does it just mean an existence somewhere forever? Oh, no. He has secured not only life, but joy in that life. And then to be in the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity. All the things that will matter for eternal life are found, secured in Jesus Christ. It's not just that we're going to have an existence forever and ever. That could be a horrible thought. But we have Jesus Christ, and He has made all things. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." Notice, "In My Father's house are many mansions." And who built them? Jesus did. "I have gone to prepare a place for you." He's fixing a place. All the things that make up eternal life, everlasting life, is found in Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me, 13 times in the book of John, eternal life or everlasting life is referred to. Eternal life, everlasting life, emphasizing a wonderful theme that eternal life is secure in Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful it is to know Him. And then finally, from this passage of Scripture, Christ's resurrection proves that the full and perfect knowledge of divine things will never be attained by believers in this world until we stand in His presence. Notice this, please. Look down at verse 20. "At that day ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you." There are some things that we just don't know fully right now. God's ways are not our ways, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9 says. His ways are not our ways. There's some things we don't know. God has told us many things. He's told us what we need to know. Amen? He's told us what we need to know. He hasn't left out anything in that regard. But do we know everything about eternal life and about our Lord? No, we don't. But in that day, we will know. We will know because we'll be standing in His presence. I want you to think for just a moment. The remains of our ignorance will be rolled away when we see Christ. Raised from the dead, freed from the darkness of this world, no longer tempted by the devil, no longer tried in the flesh, we shall see as clearly as the day all we need to know in our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Now let's apply these to our life very quickly. What does the resurrection prove? It proves that there's much more ahead. There's much more ahead. This isn't it. I'm kind of glad of that. This life isn't it. It seems like I have more aches and pains. We helped the Smiths move yesterday, and I got up this morning and I was stiff. My back didn't want to straighten up, and I was a little bit out of shape there, moving all that stuff. Yeah, but you know what? One of these days I'm going to have a new body. It's going to be likened unto His glorious body. There's more ahead. Are we there yet? No, we're not. But we take comfort in what Christ has secured through His resurrection. We now know in part and therefore sometimes misunderstand. The day is coming when there will be no conflicts of faith, no earthly contention, no misunderstanding of brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll be together one in the presence of our Lord and Savior. That day is the day when we stand with Christ in the clouds. As verse 20 tells us, at that day ye shall know. The word know translates, know by intimate understanding. Know by intimate understanding. Someone may ask you, do you know the governor of the state of Florida? I know of him, but I don't know him personally. But in that day of our Lord and Savior, it'll not be a distance type of acquaintance. It'll be a personal acquaintance. We will know intimately. That knowledge will be from within, planted by God Himself. I'm so thankful that there's more to come. And it's secured, folks, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to read again these three verses, and then we're going to close in prayer. Verses 18 through 20, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You can't be in a more closer relationship than that, than to know Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? I wonder if there's someone here that says, Pastor Brainerd, I don't know Jesus Christ. I know about Him, but I don't know Him. If you're here without the Savior today, don't walk out these doors without Him. We have shown from God's Word this morning what the resurrection proves. And it proves that you can only have comfort in Jesus Christ. Your eternity is only secure in Jesus Christ. You will not know what you need to know until you know Jesus Christ. If you're here without the Savior today, and you want to get that matter settled, would you just slip out of your seat and come forward? Everybody's got their eyes closed. No one's looking around. Hey, Pastor, I want to take care of this today. Is there anybody here? Father in heaven, I thank you for the message of the gospel. And I'm thanking you, Father, that this message is a living message. It's a message that lives on because Jesus Christ, our Savior, lives. I pray that you'd work in hearts and lives. Maybe there's someone here that perhaps would be embarrassed to come forward. But Lord, help them to understand and know that without Christ, there is no hope. There is no eternity. There is no joy unspeakable because they don't know Jesus Christ. Lord, help them to get serious about their eternal soul. Help them, Father, to turn to Thee. And we pray, Father, that You'd work in the hearts and minds of Christians here. Lord, we have a message. We have a message, Father, that's an eternal message. It's a glorious message. It's good news. Help us, Father, to share that good news with those that we come in contact with. Help us, Father, not to keep it to ourselves like a secret. Help us, Father, to unload the gospel message on those that we know and those that we come in contact with, that they may see Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners. We can't save sinners, but You can. Help us to tell others about our wonderful Savior who saves sinners. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.